Great to see all the clan back. We've got different colours matching. Now, I love the little bit of pink and black we've got here going. We've got Connor Watson on here today, guys. So, very special week. But Indigenous round on the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Give us your highlight. What was your highlight?
I think my highlight was the gift exchange between the Roosters and the Titans. And I like the story behind the Roosters clap sixes they gave the girls. It was actually led by Liv Koenig, as we know, who's a proud Aboriginal woman. Kari ran a cultural immersion camp pre-season with the players, and the players actually painted the clap six, which I really love because, you know, I guess it gets them involved and in understanding a lot more about Aboriginal culture. So I think that was for the highlight for me. And also Alan Fitzgibbon playing the didge as the Titans and the Roosters and the Bunnies walked out for NRL and NRLW. So it was good. It was a good weekend.
So many highlights. Mm-hmm. You got to play in it. What was the highlight for you of the Indigenous round? Because there's so many great talking points, Rob.
Yeah, there was a lot there, Dino. I think the highlight for me was probably pre-game against the Dolphins. Walking out, you know, had both of the Beetson brothers there. It was pretty special. Didge playing, smoking, ceremony, all of that. Yeah, I just felt like it was just one of those cool moments where I was really grateful to be able to do what I do. I was like just standing there going, this is epic.
Yeah.
Being like, yeah, I guess lucky enough to play in some sort of big games where you do get to appreciate that. And on the weekend was definitely one. And yeah, you spoke about Kari before. Troy Dargan has done a good job with those guys who come in and help sort of do our stuff. And I think he's done our gift exchange for this weekend against the Bulldogs as well. So I'm pretty sure he's made a didge for us, which will be pretty cool.
Champ, you got a highlight that you want to talk about?
Yeah, I love everything about the week, but I especially love the jerseys. And one in particular, the Bulldogs jersey, was done by my cousin Kyara Fernando. So, you know, when I seen it released, seen how good the design was, and then felt so, you know, proud and special that one of our own could, you know, put her design onto the Bulldogs jersey. And the Bulldogs do such a great job around the Indigenous round. And, yeah, just well done to Kyara and her designs. But all the jerseys were great over the weekend as well.
Awesome. Now, a couple of community shout-outs that you want to get in there?
I know, look,
it's been a while since we've seen you here, actually.
I know, you probably missed me, eh? But I've got a big shout-out. One of the girls that I mentor through the Sherry Yarn mentoring program with the Australian Institute of Sport, her name's Lehani Zorek. She's only 12 years old. She recently just won the National Indigenous Junior Surf Champs, but she also took out the Women's Open as well at 12 years old. She's a proud Yuwik girl from WA. Her grandfather and her mother were both surfers. And she also, some of the prize money that she's won over the years, she donated to a young man that's having a liver transplant. So, you know, she's a really great, grounded kid. She's in Indonesia at the moment with Surfing Australia for one of their big camps. So, you know, good luck to her for the rest of the year and for the rest of her future. You know, she's definitely one to watch.
Now, I've got a couple of shout-outs myself. Mm-hmm. Last weekend, on Friday night, I went to the GI Academy fundraising night. Greg Inglis doing a great job there. It was a big night. Anthony Albanese was there. $6.4 million they've given to the Goanna Academy to go out to our communities and do a lot of stuff in our mental health space. So really looking forward to seeing what they do there. And also the NRL Youth Summit, which was my highlight of the Indigenous round. Mm-hmm. You know, all the clubs send in their young stars or in their school-to-work program there, and they had a great couple of days up there on the Central Coast. And Jonathan Wright did an amazing job with all the NRL staff that were up there. And these kids it's a real highlight. And if you ever get a chance, look up and read some of the stuff that these kids do. They're the future leaders of what we do. But also when we're talking about charities, I know this man sitting right next to me is doing some amazing work there for your charity. And the Indigenous Rounds plays a big part in your charity because you get the boots painted up there for the players. Tell us a little bit more about your stuff that you're doing off the field.
Yeah, it does. We've sort of been doing it for, I think this is our seventh year of doing the boots now, and it just started through Aiden Guerra asking me if I could get someone to paint his boots for him for Indigenous Round. And Aiden, non-Indigenous, but grew up in Townsville, so it's pretty tight. We grew up with a fair few Murray fellas up there, and he just wanted to represent, and I thought that was pretty cool. And then that conversation led to me asking about this is when I was at Newcastle, and then 20 of the boys wanted their boots painted. So at the time I was sort of going out and visiting Kirinari Hostel up there in Nui with Jade and Lieto, who do a great job looking after all the students that come through there. And we got them to paint them, ended up getting the Glen, and sort of just evolved into this program now that we run in high schools with sort of students from 14 to 18. And it's basically a 6-week program, starts with some mental health, mental resilience chats, bring in some elders to sort of teach them cultural stuff and identity. It's all about, strengthen identity, and then finishes with the painting of boots, which all the players have donated. So this year we've got my team's doing it, all of the Knights did it last week, we've got the NRLW Roosters, some of the Para Boys, which Foxy organised, and then some of the Manly Boys, which Jason Saab organised for us. So it's pretty cool. I mean, the students come down last week to present the Roosters men's with the boots, and I mean, some of them are on the table here, they look pretty epic. And then tonight we've got some of the students presenting their NRLW Roosters with their boots, so it's been cool. Like, the kids love it, they get to come down and meet all the players, and just a good opportunity for some of these kids who, you know, in the Central Coast, Newcastle region, sort of come down to Sydney and meet some of their idols, and then also like be able to share some of their story and their culture on a pair of boots, which is pretty cool.
I'll tell you what, I'd look flash if I ran around in these. I'd be pretty fast. But your charity, Cultural Choice, it's about raising money. Where can people go if they want to auction for some of the boots? And James Tedesco, some of the stars of the game, all their boots are on there to auction for.
Yeah, so it's Cultural Choice Association, but the website is ccai.org. And if you just go .org.au, if you go on there, you'll be able to jump in on the auction. But yeah, we're not sort of, in years past, we've done every pair of boots. I think Zoe was just saying before, Zoe has done such a great job, come on board as our programs coordinator this year. But I think we did 86 pairs of boots, but we're probably only going to auction about 20 of them, because in years past, it's just too many boots, too much logistics. So yeah, there'll be players like James Tedesco, got Rob Toyers there, so probably put his on there. Nafahu Whites, which are up front there, which look amazing. So some of those ones, Angus Crichton, all of those sort of guys. But if you jump on, and some of the NRLW girls, the Roosters boots will be available too, which is pretty cool. We haven't auctioned theirs off before. But yeah, basically proceeds go back into the charity so we can continue to expand and run more programs and, get into more communities that need it, particularly like we want to start doing more rural communities. So
excellent. Excellent, brother. Well, now we're going to get into the round 23 of the NRL, and there's some great results there as we look through it there. The Storm against the Broncos, they had a couple of injuries in that one. Raiders again keep winning. The Panthers are climbing as they always do. Bo's getting excited there about the Raiders. But the big one that I want to talk about, and it fits with the man that's on the desk with us here right now, is this Roosters 64-12 win over the Dolphins. What a time to win like that. You're in competition with the Dolphins to get that eighth spot, but, geez, it must have been confidence boosting. Tell us about the win on the weekend from the Roosters.
Yeah, it was... the scoreline probably didn't feel like that, to be honest, at the end of the game, because it was such a physical game. There was so much intensity in it early. We all know about sort of that push and shove, two players getting sin bin, but... it was a good game. It was probably the most complete performance, I think, that we've had this year, because we've sort of played good for 60 minutes, lost a lot of close games. At the end of games, we've been really poor, but thought the way that we were able to have a really good lead at halftime, but then continue and finish it off. And, that last try was probably a bit disappointing, but we wanted to keep the six. That was one thing that we spoke about at halftime, but for us to, only keep them to two tries, especially aside like the Dolphins, they've got so much attacking prowess across the park, and they've run some scores up and got in shootouts as well with teams. So we sort of spoke about that, because they want it to be a shootout, try for try, because they can attack. And the biggest thing for us was we didn't really think about the 64. We more sort of spoke about keeping them to six or to 12, and then in the end we sort of played well enough, our backs played well enough, Sammy Walker stood up and finished enough tries for us that we sort of were able to get to that score. So,
and there must be a big finals, vibe throughout the club. They're really so used to seeing the Roosters in past years in that top four and in and around the mark, but there must be that real finals vibe now for the Roosters, especially building towards the back end of this year.
Yeah, it's been a weird one this year. Just, a lot of people wrote us off at the start of the year. And, we didn't start the year well at all. Got smoked by the Broncos at home, 50 put on us straight away. So that was a bit of a, humbling, like sort of a reality check of where we're at. Because, you know, everyone was speaking about how many people we lost last year, and but we sort of knew that the way we trained and the ability of these young guys that have come in and stood up for us, which I think we're starting to see now, they're playing so much consistent, with so much consistency and bringing so much to our game, that we sort of saw that in the preseason and thought, you know, we're still a chance this year, like we can do it. And then to get humbled like that early at the start of the year, you know, it was probably a good thing for us because it gave us a reality check. Like, yeah, it's not going to be easy for us. It's going to be tough. We've all got to stand up and... yeah, but we have made it hard. We have made it hard for ourselves, losing a lot of close games, which, you know, we look back on and we're like, we should have won that one, should have won that one. But all we can do is control where we're at right now. You know, just take, as cliche as it is, take it week by week. We've got the Bulldogs on Friday night, and yeah, we need to get a big win to continue to hold that sort of, you know, we're actually ninth at the moment, but to trend upwards. So,
you did say game by game, but you got the Bulldogs, Eels, Storm, and then the arch rivals, the Rabbitohs over there. But if you do get into these finals, you're not going to be limping in, are you? You're going to be coming in with some real confidence. And the Roosters seem to have this belief that you can beat anyone in the competition. Mm. Is that right?
Yeah, for sure. We, you know, like, we've got two of the best tests for us coming up over the next sort of 4 weeks with the Storm and Bulldogs, like two of the best sides in the competition. Storm aside, that, you know, we probably haven't played well enough against over the last couple of years. And but the thing is, if we want to win the comp, which we do, you have to go and beat these sides in September. So it's a good chance for us to do that now. It'll give us a lot of confidence if we can go and beat the Bulldogs this weekend and then the Storm in a couple of weeks. So, you know, it's not like we're going in sort of, like you said, limping. We're going to have to play our best to beat these sides. So if we're doing that, then, you know, I think we can beat anyone.
And one of those blokes that have come back into the team, you mentioned him before, Sammy Walker. Like the amazing attack that he brings, like 64 points, you know, a lot of that came from him and his creativity on the weekend. What does it mean for you guys to have him back in that side?
Yeah, it's been awesome. You know, we were just joking about it before, but he's sort of, he's come back from that knee ACL injury. But, you know, Semi has put, I think, like, it's the first time I've really seen him put so much effort into sort of all aspects of training. Yeah. You spoke about his attack. He's always loved, you know, the edge-on-edge stuff, carving us up at training, making us, our defence look a bit foolish. But, like, just his the way he went after, you know, the gym part of the rehab, the fitness part of the rehab. So I think that's why he's come back in such good nick. And for the first time ever, you know, we could probably say that Semi's been defending really well. And I think the last 2 weeks, the two defensive players of the game was that shot he put on last week against Manly. Yeah. And then the try-saver against Jermaine
Little
bit there, Sam. I know, it's funny. So it's been good.
Now, another big one, we were talking about this over the last couple of weeks, was this Titans versus Rabbitohs game and the Spoon Bowl, as people were calling it. Great win by South Sydney to go up there. Backs against the wall. Return of Latrell Mitchell. It was all out there to play for, and the Bunnies came up trumps. What do you make of it?
It was awesome. And both teams really, you know, heavily represented with Indigenous players. But the key to it was Latrell Mitchell. Mm. He come back in, that bit of class. He's, you know, he's poised on edges. He created tries. The try saver on Jaden Campbell really turned the game to at that point in the that point of the game. But it was just great that South just stuck to the task. They went down 12 points to 4, but they just kept believing in their systems. And as I said, it was Latrell Mitchell's efforts here and there, or his class plays, that I believe got South over the line on the weekend and hopefully avoided that wooden spoon.
Now, I was looking at Alex Johnson and I was thinking he's not going to get there for that try scoring record this year because of the football that South were playing. Latrell Mitchell comes back in the team. They put him over next to Alex Johnson. I'm excited again. The countdown's beginning. But Alex Johnson, Bo, as he continues to rise, this, the excitement. This is exciting times come from, and he did a great performance on the weekend.
Oh, yeah, two tries there. And like you said, with Trell on the inside of him, it reminded me of the old GI Darius Boyd days. But, I'm excited for him. You know, there's a couple of games left in the rounds in the season. I definitely think he can get there. And if he does, this is just, it's not just a huge thing for NRL. It's a huge thing for our mob as well. It's so important that our young fellas and young women now get to see these, you know, these things happening. And with Alex, you know, getting, and I've got the confidence in him to do it, I really think it's going to be a huge occasion. I hope the Bunnies celebrate it well.
Now, as I look down that list of the all-time try scorers, Daniel Tupou keeps climbing and keeps rising. Your teammate at the Roosters.
Yeah.
What do you make of Toops as he keeps going for it? Because this record could become something that he aims for one day.
Yeah, I'm not sure, Dean. I don't know how many years Toopsie has left in him. He's pulling up pretty sore at the moment. But, yeah, like, he's just Mr. Consistent, you know. He's just done it for a long time. But I just honestly can't comprehend that AJ is that close to doing it. Like, who would have... It's so many tries.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he's scored 209 tries. It's just out of this world, really, yeah, to think about it. But... I hope AJ breaks the record, just not against us in the last
round. Well, speaking of that, so he's got two games before he gets there, so he needs a few tries. I remember when I played against Andrew Johns and he became the greatest point scorer in NRL and we beat him 46-12 at Parramatta Stadium and he was filthy about it. I think he smashed the trophy as he walked off. Could you imagine if Alex Johnson gets this record against the Roosters over there?
Yeah.
The South fans will hate it because they won't get a chance to really celebrate him because the Roosters aren't going to put on a celebration for it. What will it feel like for you guys going up against him in that last round? I want to know, would you be preventing every try you can over there? Or?
Yeah, we'll probably, because if we go up against him and he's a chance of breaking it, you assume that will just be throwing the ball to him all the time. So we might have to stack a few defenders over that 100%. End. But yeah, you know, like, I hope he does break it. I just don't want it to happen against us. And I wonder, do you think they'll storm the field if he does? Like the AFL?
It'd be interesting to see.
I hope so. He deserves it.
Well, as a South man at a Roosters game, if he gets the record,
is that you?
We'll all be storming the field. Round 6 of the NRLW, the first ever Indigenous round, and how good was that? But I'll tell you what, some of the scores there. You see the Sharks are starting to rise in their win over the Dragons. The Knights look very impressive as they go there. The Warriors look like they could be one of the teams there to get the top four, but some great results. The Broncos and Roosters just keep going from strength to strength. But one of the highlights for us was young Phoenix Hippai up there, Cabbage Tree Island girl, making her debut. And didn't she have a sensational debut, Bo?
She did, Dino. Proud Camilla Roy and Bundjalung descendant, and it was so good to see her run out on that field. I had the, I guess, the honour of being able to see this girl start from a really young age when she was playing knockout at South Coast in under-17s when Cabo won that. And then they've gone on to win whatever team her and Savannah Roberts have been involved in have won, you know, every year since. So it was really good to see all the mob there. We're down at the northern end. It was huge. It was such a good thing to see. But then, you know, obviously her getting her first try and filling in for Chapo at fullback would have been pretty nerve-wracking for her, I guess. But she did the job well, and I was just so excited for her and her mob especially.
Well, I hope it's a big source of inspiration for them young girls, talented young girls up down at Northern Rivers area, and they'll all follow in that footsteps there because there's certainly a lot of talent there that can come.
Yeah, 100%. And we saw what she did in Origin as well. Like, she was the best player on the field for the Queensland team this year earlier in Origin. But yeah, and I guess, you know, hopefully she'll be back on the field this week. You know, we don't know what's happening with Chapo just yet in terms of that ankle injury, but she was in a boot after the game. So, you know, I don't think she'll be playing this week, but hopefully she'll be back in the next couple of weeks as well.
Good luck, Chapo, up there. We're always praying that you're on the field as soon as you can. Now, this ladder at the NRLW, and I tell you what, the Roosters and Broncos keep jumping ahead of everyone. The Roosters looking favourites to go undefeated this year. Broncos right up there with them. The Knights doing fantastic, champ. But it looks like a ladder there's the haves and the have-nots in it. It's imbalanced in this competition, you have to say. And what do the NRL need to do about it? What are some options?
They have to look at it. I know that there's been a draft system discussed. I just don't see a draft system working for the fact of, you know, a lot of women will have jobs or family in certain areas and then to move away and the, you know, the lack of money or finances that you'll be rewarded with just isn't there. How I would look at it is I'd block it out and I'd sort of say your top five players at each club are paid this amount of money and then you would sort of stagmate it down, and that way you would try and get some of the, you know, the key players from other teams looking to move. Again, even if you're limited to three that were really marquee and paid you know, exponentially compared to the rest of the roster, I think you would then get a bit of a balance, because we're seeing at the moment that if one player is out for, you know, one of the lower teams, it's going to affect the rest of their season. Their season's basically gone. So That's the next step now for the NRLW is to look at the rosters and to try and get it, you know, equal across all teams, or at least a good balance, so that moving forward the games are a lot more competitive. Because at the moment, a lot of the girls are making decisions saying, I'd rather play for a good team, I'd rather win competitions, yeah, and I'd rather play Origins. So that's all great and well. You have to incentivise them in other ways now to ensure that it is equally spread across all the teams.
Now, the Roosters only lost one game last year. They're looking like they're going to go through undefeated again this year. Although, look, the Knights will have something to say about that, and the Broncos later. What's your thoughts on watching the competition, Bo?
Yeah, look, I think this was the risk of bringing another two teams in so early as well. It might have watered the competition down a little bit because, like you said, like in the reserve grade, there's not a lot of the talent. There is talent there, but not at that NRLW level yet. And I think with the draft, it's not going to work. They've just got to not even, you know, think about that, because our women aren't playing, you know, they're not playing every single, they're training every day, but they're not getting paid like the men's are. They're still working jobs. Some have still got families. You can't be drafting them around this country. It's just not going to work. I don't think personally anyway. You know, you've got to give it up to the Roosters. They've got a really good team. They've got a great coach. They've got some really good leadership in there as well. So I guess, like you're saying, this weekend is going to be a tough one as well. But yeah, I think what you were saying around, you know, those top five players in the marquee players is probably the way to go, Bobo. But I'm not on the draft at all.
As we look forward to round seven, the second round, Indigenous round, some big games there. The Sharks versus Titans game is going to be a really good one, particularly if Jamie Chapman can come back there, and hopefully one of those teams will make a run towards that fourth spot. The Roosters versus Knights, though, is a game that I'm really keen to watch, particularly the battle between a couple of Indigenous back rowers there, Olivia Koenig and Eva McEwen. And this Knights back row is up there with some of the best, with, you know, Yasmin Clydesdale there as well, some of the best back rowers there, but Olivia Koenig, the best player in the game. How do you see this little battle? Because Eva's certainly rising as a player. She's got great footwork and great strength.
100%, Dina. She's big. She's athletic. You know, she scored two tries on the weekend. You know, she's going to have to step up. But this match is going to be where she needs to stamp her authority. You know, her and Yazzie Clydesdale out on that other back row, they've got a great combination. But, you know, they're up against Liv Koenig. And we've seen what Liv can do. But I definitely think that this matchup is going to be probably the matchup of the season so far. You know, but I think, you know, Eva's got to bring her A game. She's got to show her ball playing now. She's got to be able to run these hard lines, you know, with who's in front of her as well. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to this matchup and this game this weekend.
It's probably one of the first games we circle on the calendar, Indigenous Round. We get to celebrate and showcase our culture for a whole week. And I think our club does that really well. My name is Jamal Fogarty and I'm a proud Mananjali man.
My name is Sebastian Chris and I'm a proud Torres Strait Islander. I'm from the tribes Panai and Wagadugga.
I think what I like about it is probably the colour. Like, there's obviously the Raiders colours there, but I like the white because you can see the designs of all the boys' totems and all the artwork on it. Totems or spirit animals, you know, it means a lot to us and our people and where we come from. So to have that on there to represent us, our family and our community is something significant to us as players.
My uncle, Eric Babier, he designed a design representing the Torres Straits, and it was good that he was able to work with Shanice, the artist from here, and they were able to put together this awesome jersey. I think it's one of our best so far. Just having my culture up there, which I think is commonly overlooked or just assumed to be the same as Aboriginal culture. So for me and my family, my culture, it's pretty big. We're all excited to play in this year's Indigenous round. I think it also helps having such a cool jersey, incorporating both cultures and also the Canberra land and people itself. I think that makes you as a player want to play better on that day.
The Raiders, they're doing a great job there in the Indigenous round last week. They got the bye this week, so they'll sit back and watch. Big round 24 of the NRL, the second week of Indigenous round. The Gardu gathering, that's going to be something that I'm really looking forward to, as the Roosters versus Bulldogs, the Rabbitohs versus Eels and the West Tigers versus Seals all playing there at Allianz Stadium, right in there in the city, the home of the Roosters. But the Rabbitohs trying to move in on it there this week, so they'll be certainly excited to watch that. Great matchups there, but the one I'm looking forward to the most is this matchup between Josh Adokar and Alex Johnson as he strives for the record-breaking try in the Rabbitohs versus Eels game there, Bo De La Cruz. Two of our great finishers there up against each other.
Yeah, look, it's going to be a good one. I'm all, you know, emotional about it because I think, you know, surely the Fox will just let the brother get over for a couple of those tries because, you know, it's just putting our mob up on another pedestal, which I always love to see. But, yeah, great matchup this weekend. It's going to be good to see, you know, the Bunnies be able to, I guess, express their Indigenous round and what they've done through all that and their designs of their jerseys and stuff like that. So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to it.
Champ, does he get the record this week?
I don't know about this week. Three tries, he'd have to score four. He'll get it definitely by the end of the year. I'll tip that. He'll get it definitely by the end of the year. He might get a couple this week outside Latrobe.